There were a lot of people who believed that wealth and material possessions were a sure sign of God's favor. If you were rich, then obviously God was blessing you, and obviously you were doing God's will. And a lot of people would focus on material possessions, but they would forget the eternal. And we need to understand today that maybe God will bless you financially because you're faithful, but there are a lot of people who are very wealthy today who don't know the Lord at all. So what we've got to focus on is the eternal. Jesus is always, always trying to lift our eyes from the temporal to look over the horizon to the eternal kingdom of God. He wants us to get our eyes off of the here and now and onto the forever. So if you're able, let's stand together. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Please help us to have hearts that treasure your truth and your word and your eternal kingdom. Lord, help us to focus on forever, to help us to consider Christ in everything that we do, and to not be focused on the here and now, to not love this world or the things that are in this world, but to love you above all things. Please convict hearts here tonight. Lord, I pray if there's a man or a woman, a boy or a girl here today who's never been born again, I pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit would convict them, that tonight they would repent and believe the gospel and be saved today. We pray that you'll help all of us who are saved to be completely surrendered to your will and to live for your kingdom. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. And please be seated. With God's command always comes God's enabling. The Lord doesn't call the equipped, but he equips the called. God has called us to do certain things, and he'll always enable us. He never expects us to do anything in our own strength. We can't do anything in our own strength. Without him, we are nothing. Without him, we can do nothing. So we've got to have an eternal perspective, and we have to trust in the Lord to do that. James 4:14 says, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Like you put water on the stove to boil and the steam comes off, just as quick as that rises up and disappears. Or fog on the river early in the morning, or on a lake or a pond early in the morning, that fog comes up and then it's gone. And that's what our life is, friends. If we live to be 120, it's just a vapor. It's just here and gone. And we've got to live with an eternal perspective. 1 John 2:15-17. 1 John 2:15-17 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Friends, we've got to understand tonight that everything in this world is temporal, and we should not love the things of this world. When we love the things of this world, verse 15 says, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And that's terrifying to me, because it's so easy for us to love the things of this world. Right. And you notice that he says, don't love the world or the things that are in the world. And it's so easy for us to love the things of this world more than we love God, more than we love his word, more than we love living for him. And so we've got to guard against this, and it should be easy, because all of the things of this world that we might fall in love with, the lust that we might give into, it's all going to go away. It's not going to last. It's not going to last. It's temporal. And only those who are faithful or have their faith in Christ and have trusted in him alone will abide forever. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And what a way of that God has with his word. We look not at the things which are seen, but to the things which are not seen. Well, that doesn't make any sense. How do you look at something that you can't see? Well, because the things which are seen are temporal. All of these physical things are just going to burn up. But the things which we can't see, God's kingdom, eternity, heaven, that's what lasts forever and what we should focus on. David Garrett was a world-renowned concert violinist. And he had a violin that was so rare that it was valued at $1.5 million. And I thought those Martin guitars were nice. $1.5 million violin. He was a 26-year-old violinist, and he was performing around the world, but he was at a concert in London. He tripped on his way across the stage and landed on top of the violin. Of course, you're hoping that maybe it's not that bad. But it cost him $65,000 to restore that violin. Ouch. I remember one time when Brother Dustin left his guitar laying behind his truck. And he ran over it with his truck. And I remember that. It made me so sick when I heard it. I mean, that's just, if you don't play an instrument, but those of you who do play an instrument, you can understand it just, But a $1.5 million violin, $65,000 to repair it. But you know what? That violin that I assume is now worth $1.565 million, it's going to burn up one day. Doesn't matter how much somebody puts into it. It doesn't matter if it's a $5 billion violin. One day, it's going to burn up. Amen. One day, it's going to be gone. And it's going to be nothing. Everything on this earth loses its value in light of eternity. Everything temporal, everything earthly loses its value in light of eternity. We've got to have that heavenly perspective. We've got to be focused on an eternal perspective. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 through 14, 1 Corinthians 3, verses 10 through 14, we've got to understand that heavenly values are shared over and over through the scriptures, and we've got to consider eternity. And Paul, he puts the deeds of this world into two different categories. 1 Corinthians 3:10, according to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. But listen, if our works are not for the eternal, they're wood, hay, and stubble. They're going to be burned up in that day of judgment. And we may be saved, yet so as by fire. But friends, when we build for the eternal, when we're living for his kingdom, we're laying up treasures that will last forever and that will glorify Christ forever. And that's the point. It's not about getting up there to compare who's got the most rewards. All of our rewards are going to be laid at the feet of Jesus. It's all for his glory. We've got to have an eternal perspective, and there is a systematic plan. When we talk about laying up treasures, literally one of the ways we do that is by giving financially. God has given us a way to be a part of his kingdom work. He allows us to participate through our giving in the church. The church is the storehouse that we give to the Lord. Listen, we pass the plate around here to give people an opportunity to give. But you need to understand, when you give, you're not giving to the pastor. When you give, you're not giving even to the church. You're not even really giving to the ministries of the church. when you give, you're giving to the Lord through the church. And it's so important that we understand that. We are giving to the Lord. 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2 says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, that Sunday, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come." So on the first day of the week, on Sunday, we gather as God has prospered us. And some of us, God has prospered a little. Some of us, God has prospered a lot. But however, whatever degree he's prospered you, you give according to that to the Lord. Amen. I want you to look with me to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. Malachi 3 and 8. Brother Roger, I still feel like I'm a young pastor. I was hoping somebody would amen that. But I remember when I first started pastoring, I was terrified to preach on giving. And I was terrified to preach on giving mostly because of people outside of the church who were always complaining about the preachers who preached on giving. All they do down there at that church is beg for money. Beg, beg, beg for money. That's all they care about is money. And I used to be scared to death because I didn't want to be who they were talking about. But you know, when you study your Bible and you understand biblical giving, I would be dead wrong to not preach on it. There are so many blessings that God promises to those who give. And if I don't preach these truths, then I am going to help, I'll be aiding and abetting you robbing God, and you'll be robbing yourselves of the blessings of God. And so I'm not afraid to preach on it anymore. If anybody leaves here tonight saying I'm begging for money, then you haven't listened. This is about giving to the Lord out of a heart of gratitude for what he's given to us. Amen. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Now you got to get this. This is a back and forth between God and Israel. God is saying, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, Israel says, wherein have we robbed thee? God says, in tithes and offerings. He says, ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. We give to God out of what he has given to us. It really all belongs to him anyway. But we give out of a heart of gratitude. And when we don't give our tithes and offerings, we are robbing God. And we're robbing ourselves of the blessings of God. The first fruits are his. Now, so many people want to say, well, that's Old Testament. We're not under the law. But the principle of the tithe was given before the law. Abraham gave tithes of all before the law was given. It's a principle of God to give to him. The tithe is the Lord. That's just a Bible principle. That's just a Bible truth. The tithe is the Lord's. And anything we give above that tithe are special giving, special offerings, tithes and offerings. The tithe is just simply, it's 10%. And somebody said to me, you think we ought to have to give 10% like they had to give under the law? And I appreciated this when I was a young man. Somebody said, it'd be a shame to give less under grace than was required under the law. Be ashamed to give less under grace than what was required under the law. But if you want to get technical, under the law, there was more than one tithe. They had to give a tithe at least three times in the year. And so really they were given 30%, which is about what the federal government thinks I ought to give them. Anybody else in that tax bracket? But guess what? I may grumble about taxes, but I am thankful to have the privilege to give to God. Amen. Amen. Exodus 35, 21 says, they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing. And they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, and for all his service, and for the holy garments. And they came, both men and women, as many as were willing-hearted, and brought bracelets and earrings and rings and tablets, all jewels of gold, and every man that offered an offering of gold unto the Lord. And every man with whom was found blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair and red skins of rams and badger skins brought them. Every one that did offer an offering of silver and brass brought the Lord's offering. And every man with whom was found shittim wood for any work of the service brought it. And I want you to notice that all of this giving that was given was because their heart stirred them up and they had a spirit that was willing to give. God loves a cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver. Look at 2 Corinthians 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 5. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren, that they would go before unto you, and make up beforehand your bounty, that's your offerings, whereof ye had noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty, and not as of covetousness. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Now let's stop there for just a second. There was a special offering that was going on. They were taking up a collection to help another church that was in a bad way. And so they knew ahead of time, we're taking up this special offering to help them, and the people were giving. But I want you to notice what he says, that when you sow sparingly, that is the idea of casting seed into your garden, when you cast that seed, if you sow just a little bit, you're only going to get a little bit of crop. You give a little, you're only going to get a little in return. But when you sow bountifully, if you sow a lot of seeds, you're going to have a greater return. There's going to be more of a harvest. Amen. That's not complicated, is it? I mean, that makes sense. Amen. I think that if I plant a lot of seeds, I'll get a lot more plants. Amen. I think if I only plant a few seeds, then I'll only get a few plants. Well, the same thing works in God's economy of giving. So we want to give bountifully. Verse 7, every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. I ought to pay more attention during the offering time just to see the look on your face when the plate comes by. I don't. But there ought to be joy in our hearts to get to give to the Lord. Our offering time is part of our worship. Amen. We're giving to the Lord, and it ought to be a time to rejoice. Now, some of you, I know you think, man, I don't have anything to give. I can't afford to give. Well, I learned a long time ago, I can't afford not to give. Amen. You see, when you rob God of his tithes and offerings, you're really robbing yourself. Right. And I promise you, based on the authority of the Word of God, if you will give your tithes and offerings, God will provide. Amen. It's guaranteed. You don't have to take my word for it. You can take his word for it. And that's why he said, prove me, my test me, try me. Try me and see. You give your tithes and offerings and just see if I don't bless you. And he will. You notice that it all comes back to the heart. At the heart of every matter is a matter of the heart. We've got a purpose in our heart. We've got to give. We shouldn't give grudgingly. You know, when the plate comes by, and you shouldn't be like this with your check, like making yourself give it. It shouldn't be like that. It ought to be a joyful thing that we're rejoicing to give. And it's not out of necessity. You don't give because you have to. I promise you, God doesn't need your money. We give as an act of worship, not because God needs our money. It's his. He owns everything. But as God has prospered you, give with a cheerful heart. What a joy. I thank God how he's blessed. And as I've learned to give, and as I continue to learn to give, that God continues to bless. I love verse 8. God is able. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. I can't afford to give. It seems like the Holy Spirit let Paul know that that might be an argument, that that might be something that somebody would think. And so he says, just to let you know, God is able to make all grace abound towards you, so that you always, having all sufficiency in all things. Amen. If you'll trust God, he'll provide for you. Amen. All the time. Amen. In everything. Amen. Isn't that good? Amen. I want you to notice that this giving, this laying up of treasures, it has a kingdom connection. Look at, in our text, Matthew 6:21. It's not just a kingdom command. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, but we lay up treasures in heaven. But we have a connection. It's connected to the kingdom of God. Verse 21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Wherever your treasure is, wherever your money is, whatever you value, that's where your heart will be. That's where you put your heart. It can be hard for us to live daily in the light of eternity when we're surrounded by the temporal. But remember, God has given us all of these things. And when we give, we're giving out of what he's given to us. 1 Chronicles 29, verses 13 and 14. If you want to mark this down, 1 Chronicles 29, 13 and 14. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I? And what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. Isn't that good? I rejoice that you've given me something to give back, because it's really all yours anyway. And that's the heart. And when a heart is in it like that, I'm so thankful that I get to give. Praise your name that I'm able to give, because, well, it's all yours anyway. I wouldn't have anything if you didn't give it to me. And so I'm so thankful to give it back to you. And when my heart is in it like that, my heart is connected with his kingdom. My heart is connected. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Amen. By the way, where your heart is, there will your treasure be also. Amen. So it works both ways. Amen. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. We've got to get that heavenly perspective. We've got to understand that there's a connection to the kingdom. And there's a connection between love and giving. There's also a connection between love and serving. Verse 24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Amen. We call those fence straddlers. We try to live with one foot in the world and one foot in heaven. We try to just balance it out. I'm a little bit worldly. I'm a little bit carnal. I'm a little bit carnal-minded, but I'm also spiritual. I think America is filled with Christians, or Christians so-called, like that. That we're so worldly all the time, and then we come and we worship on Sunday, and then we go right back to it. Friends, it ought not to be so. We cannot serve two masters. You'll hate one and love the other. You'll hold one. You'll despise the other. We cannot serve God and mammon, or this world's goods. We can't do it. We can't do it. 1 Timothy 6, 9 and 10. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. And I want to tell you, I've seen too many men leave the church, leave the faith, leave serving God in their pursuit of the dollar. A little extra overtime, a little extra money. But people aren't very smart, especially here in America. You ever notice that we're all saddled with debt? And it doesn't really seem to matter how much people make. They tend to spend a little bit more than what they bring in. But not everybody's like that. Some of you have learned biblical principles and understand that that's not the way we're supposed to live. Live within your means. Don't spend more than you make. That ought to be common sense, but it's not common in America today. So people are chasing that almighty dollar. They're working extra. They're getting more hours just so they'll have more. But instead of paying off the debt they have, they just borrow more to buy more things. And those, the love of the world and the things of the world takes them away from the faith. And they pierce themselves through with many sorrows. Boy, if that's not a picture of financial condition of America today, they've erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. We've got a kingdom connection. We've also got a kingdom cause. A kingdom cause. It's a royal cause. When Jesus forgave your sins, if you're born again tonight, he not only saved you, but he made you a part of his kingdom. The Bible tells us that we are heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. We are the children of God through faith in Christ. Not of any good that we have done, not any of merit of our own, just by his mercy and grace. When you trust in him, he makes you a child of the King. And since we're heirs to the kingdom, we ought to live our lives on this earth advancing that kingdom. We ought to be living for his kingdom. Colossians 1:13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Look at Matthew 6:25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto a stature? And why take ye thought for raiment or clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Amen. And all these things shall be added unto you. When we look through this passage of Scripture, the Lord's just telling us, you're so worried about what you're going to eat, you're worried about what you're going to drink, you're worried about what you're going to wear. We're so focused on the temporal. We're so focused on the here and now. And he says, that's the stuff the Gentiles, that's what the pagans worry about. You don't have to worry about that. I've never seen the righteous begging for bread. Amen. God provides for his own. Amen. You don't have to worry about that. What you need to focus on is his heavenly kingdom. The flowers are blooming outside. Dandelions started coming up. You know, February. Right? Daffodils? Was it February that they started blooming? What in the world? The flowers are blooming out there. Jesus says, listen, they don't go out and gather in. They don't go and spin fabric. They don't go and spin thread. They don't go and weave clothes. And yet Solomon in all of his glory is not as beautiful as the flowers in the field. Amen. But you know what? They're here today and they're gone tomorrow. Amen. Those daffodils are so pretty. I love them this time of year. Amen. But it seems like they come out of nowhere and they're gone in a minute. And if God takes care of them, how much more is he going to take care of you? I'm just simply trying to tell you tonight that we ought to give to the Lord. We ought to give faithfully. We ought to give sacrificially. But we can trust that God is going to provide. my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He is going to supply all of your needs, and you can trust in him. We've got so many things that we have opportunities to give to. Our regular tithes and offerings that we take up all the time. On Wednesday nights, we take up this offering for our young people, the youth. We have our building fund offering the first Sunday of every month. We give regularly to missions around the world to help missionaries to take the gospel. And it's an amazing thing, friends, that however little you have, you can give and be a part of the kingdom of God. That it's fruit to your account. Paul told the Philippians, he said, not that I desired a gift, but I desired fruit to your account. And when we give, he gets glory, and his kingdom is furthered. Tonight, I'd like to ask you to stand with me as we get ready for a verse of invitation. I don't know where your heart is tonight. Maybe you're burdened down, you're worried, you're concerned about paying the bills this month. Maybe you're worried about things coming up in the future. I just want to encourage you and invite you tonight to cast your cares on Jesus because he cares for you. Jesus said in Matthew 11:29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You can trust him with your eternal soul. You can trust him with your finances. You can trust him with everything in your life. Trust in him tonight while we sing.